evaluation criteria that's in conflict with the Pacifica, current Pacifica policy. And that basically there could be policy developed to change the grid, but I don't think we need to do that at this time. If we just understand that the 2017 policy is simply for the evaluation of individual programs, not where they're placed on the grid, not whether they're taken off the air, put on the air, or anything like that, just to evaluate them in terms of their effectiveness as individual programs.
Well, Jim to the stack on this issue.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, the scheduling thing, I also agree with Maxie, because that's an important point. The question of where things are placed. You know, when Andrew came in as PD, Andrew Phillips at BAI many years ago, and that was when the whole strip programming mania was being imposed by Pacifica. We're talking about the early 90s. The issue of vertically organizing like-minded themes and shows in one night was a reasonable thing to do. And he did that. I know Samori did the same thing when he was PD, when he replaced him, because I was dealing with Samori on a weekly and daily basis when I was on the program council at BAI. So the scheduling thing to me is not unreasonable. The presentation issue in that statement, frankly, there are several questions, several points in the policy you guys passed, which basically are the same thing to me: sound quality, production values, etc., and audience data. Well, we mentioned that in the Nielsen ratings, the amount of money generated. We didn't mention streaming data, of course. That's another criterion. And revenue to be evaluated. I mean, all those things are in place. It just is that, you know, I don't necessarily see these two ideas as incompatible. And anyway, the PDs are going to be implementing them, and we can monitor and, you know, with reports and see how they're grappling with it. And the whole thing is not to, you know, be naysaying and point out to them, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. The whole point is to figure out ways for us to move forward positively in general. And we can always revise these things. If they don't work, we just put new language in or something like that. But, you know, I just want to see us evaluating things not only in the micro level with each show, but at the macro level with the whole schedule. I think that's not unreasonable to allow PD to do.
I have a possible compromise. Instead of saying program evaluation should be based on, say, evaluation of program grid should be based on traditional measurements, presentations, so that it becomes clear that we're talking about the program grid. Should be based upon traditional measurements, presentation, scheduling, audience data, revenue, and to be evaluated annually. And then if in the first part, the earlier paragraph, we write PD meets with programmers quarterly beginning in April of 2019, and individual program evaluations will be done in complement to the policy already passed, something like that.
Grace, for the staff.
So that they become separate issues. Yes, Grace.
Okay, I'm now getting thoroughly confused. I lost the actual motion. I can't find it in this email.
It says rewrite resolutions completed one.
It's the first one.
It's the first one. So if we say PD meets with programmers quarterly beginning in April 2019, and individual programs be evaluated either in complementary or by the standards of the PMB policy passed in 2017.
Okay, wait a second. What does it say?
What's
that?
I was going to say, I can assist with your efforts to compromise.
Okay.
I think what Jim said is really important, and that is that of the 12 sort of measurement that are in the original evaluation, much of that is actually represented in the 4 points that I articulated in red. I think the bigger question, I think that's more of an issue of either nuance or just the wording. I think the bigger question is who this is submitted to. And I'm not sure we resolved that part of this debate. And that is, does the PNB and the PNB Programming Committee need to be a part of the evaluation or submission process? I think it's great that we've got a policy to put forward. The question is, once it's put forward, how does it get dealt with on the ground? And does the PNB and the PNB Programming Committee need to be involved that intimately once this policy is in place? And I think that's what this paragraph deals with. So my compromise, if you will, is to say, if you don't want to use this language, that's fine. Go with the original. The bigger question is, where do we go with the evaluation?
Well, I would say that the bylaws give evaluation to the LSBs and the PNB. So the local LSB will evaluate the general manager and program director according to our bylaws.
So it's interesting that we have that.
The difficulty we've had in the past is that there's no criteria for measuring that evaluation.
Right, I understand.
And from my perspective, this would provide a criteria that wouldn't be arbitrary.
So this gets to a real fundamental question. This gets to a fundamental question, and that is, what's the jurisdiction of the program director over the programmers if the LSB is involved in this evaluation process?
Okay, this is Grace for the STAC.
Yeah, Jim to the STAC too, please.
Okay, Grace.
Okay. First of all, the PNB does not need to micromanage and receive all of the evaluations of all the programmings from all of the stations. That would the implementation of the policy for 2017 should be done by the program director, reviewed by the general manager probably. But compliance should be sent to the local station boards and the PNB. Just that it has been done. It has been accomplished.
Now, I think that's a good idea.
I think that we need to think more carefully about policy regarding how the grid is changed and structured. That needs more thought, in my opinion. I don't think we should run. I agree, Jim, that that's very, very important. But I think that any policy regarding that should be thought about carefully. And I don't think we're ready for that. I think the first step is to get implemented evaluation of the individual programs, and then and this committee can work on policy regarding the criteria. I would flesh that out. I don't want to vote in favor of this tonight because it's too premature. I would say that it needs to be based on careful market research. Needs to be based on whatever, and we may need to consult with the general managers and program directors on this in terms of what would be good policy for changing the programming placement on the grid and which programs. I think the first thing is the evaluation of the individual programs so we know which ones are subpar and which ones are acceptable or much better than acceptable. At least we know that first. And then there may be an excellent program that still needs to be removed because it's too redundant with other excellent programs. If you know what I mean. The subject matter is too similar to other excellent programs. But we need to think more about this, I think. I'm just too confused about this right now to vote this, to move forward on voting.
I agree.
Point of clarity.
point of clarity.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Maybe I used the phrase improperly. I don't.
It's all right. I don't.
Yeah,
I understood what you meant.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Was that Sabrina calling me out? That's all. What I wanted to say for Grace is that I don't think we're really voting on whether the schedule or the program grid. I don't think that's part of the situation here. I think that's why I said we could remove the second half of what I included. If that's confusing things, let's stay with what was originally proposed. If Jim is so definitive that this needs to happen now and everyone's in accord with that, proceed. I think it's good that we're removing the PNB from needing to receive this material. I would argue the programming committee might also fit in that category, but that's me. I think the LSB, if it needs to be a part of the process, that's fine. But I think this is an operational matter. Policy just makes sure that there is something in place. Operationally, it needs to be a station management effort with the proof of it being done shown to the ED and, if you will, perhaps this committee or something. But it's more of a proving that it's being done than actually seeing the evaluations, in my opinion. So I think I say all that to say that I think we could vote. We're voting on evaluating the programs. We're not voting on evaluating the grid or the scheduling process. That's not what's a part of this if you take out my second half.
All right, Kathy?
Yes, go ahead.
Look, I was a programmer too, MacBee, and I also did television. And I was doing television daily in a shrimp program. So I know a little bit about how you have to have evaluation going on. And, I find it unacceptable that in 2019, if you throw what you did in your presentation of a clock on there, to some people that's some sort of foreign matter. I mean, that's unacceptable, okay?
I agree.
Unacceptable in 2019 at any radio station in Pacifica that it's some sort of strange alien form that's being offered to them. Unacceptable. So I have to insist that, we're not talking about, and I don't agree with you on the question of, I think the PNB should have some sort of reporting function going up to it. Not in detail. I agree. That's ridiculous. And so should the PNB program committee. And frankly, these things should be public. They should be, yes, we're doing this, we're doing that. And they should be transparent and open. Because we don't have this going on. And there's no guarantee that me, you, any of us will be around in 4 years, 2 years. This is going to be a problem that has inhibited the state system from growing for the past 25 years. And if I refer to Nielsen's, with respect to the stations I know about, it's unacceptable to have, only according to them, the low numbers we have. And when I was the chair of the Community Advisory Board, we haven't thrown that in the mix. They actually are statutorily required by federal law to come in and make comments about programming. So when I was a chair and I would come to WBALSB and I'd say, look, you guys got to realize that you have 0.001% of the audience of New York City listening to you, and that's the basic problem. How do you deal with that? That went to deaf ears. Nobody would want to pay attention to that. They'd say, oh, it's the program director's fault. It's the GM's fault. So whose fault is it? Where do we start to try to put in procedures to try to change this for everybody to the benefit of the good, the greater good? And so I don't agree. I think we should pass a resolution like this. We can come back and tweak it again, but to have an evaluation process starting and working and having to be responsible for, and then, if it doesn't work, we change it. But I think we got to start.
Hey, Jim, I was agreeing with you, man.
I have an amendment to this. I have it in front of me, and a couple of small amendments, and then maybe we can vote on this. Catherine, can I be?
What is your amendment, Greg?
Okay, the amendment is simply that the sentence
starting with since be removed because it's kind of redundant. Which one? It starts with since. It's at the beginning of the motion. Since when changes made it can be done abruptly, seemingly unfairly, and disruptively because the team's implementing the change is responding to long simmering problems that need to be suddenly altered. I think we can eliminate that sentence and then just simply eliminate this program evaluation based upon traditional measurements, presentation, scheduling, audience data, and revenue to be evaluated annually, because that's essentially not what this proposal is about. This is more about grid change rather than just simple program evaluation. So I would say
no, that's not true. Great, that's not true. This is about program evaluation. What I did was confuse everybody by putting scheduling in here, because when I explained it, it became now an issue of people wanting to vote on whether we should have policy around the grids. And I'm saying take that out. Let's make this simply about evaluating programming as it was originally intended. Keep it clean consistent with the 17. Take out that second
program
paragraph.
Program evaluation based
on contribution. Take it out.
Okay.
Take it out.
Okay, very good. So where we would
so be. That's your motion.
That's the amendment to this motion.
Hold on. So we're taking out from program evaluation to audience data?
All the way to annually.
We're taking
all the way to annually.
Mm-hmm.
Are we taking out PD meets with programmers quarterly beginning April 2019? Are we leaving that?
We're leaving.
I would argue we have to leave that.
Yeah,
okay,
Jim wants that in.
So we're leaving that. And I'm not clear what we're taking out.
We're removing a sentence that begins with since, and then we're removing this sentence that begins with after the semicolon, program evaluation, and that's it. We're just removing those two parts.
And we're including the sentence that should complement current PNB policy directives, how to evaluate programming previously passed in 2017. Because frankly, that covers everything.
We're taking out since until altered or until necessary.
I think I took that out already. I took out everything that I already took out that comment because I believe also Eric raised that.
Okay. So you're taking away the lack of an ongoing evaluation process at all the Pacifica station is one source of unwanted tension. Are we taking that out?
No, I think that should stay because that's a fact.
Okay, stay. And so since when change is made, it can be abruptly, that comes out. Up until what point?
Well, I have that sentence. It is preferred that a fair process be developed. I know we were fighting over what fair means. I guess it's in the eyes of the beholder. But since there's no process period in place, except very subjective, I would, you know, fair, you know, I don't want to quibble about the word fair, but I certainly think we want it to be fair. But at the same time, I personally agree with the kind of objectives that Massey's saying, because obviously we're going to evaluate every program. You're going to evaluate the grid. It's just inherent in doing it. They're not incompatible with each other.
All I'm trying to find out, we're going to start the, eliminate the part starting with since.
Right.
Where does that end is the only question I have.
I took it out. It ends with the comment, it is preferred that a fair process be developed and implemented for all the shows, so change can be made and tweaking done if necessary. That I didn't take out so far.
So altered, since the altered is what's gone.
Up to
correct.
Altered, thank you. Okay. And is that consistent with your motion, Grace? And then we're taking out
from
anything after
annually. Everything in red after the semicolon.
Yeah, we took that out.
Okay. That all comes out. Okay, so those are the two alterations. We take one paragraph out of the implementation part, and we're taking out of the be it resolved anything about the program grid, anything after that colon. Okay, so that is the amendment. Are there any objections to this amendment?
Well, you still didn't resolve the sentence after the red, and whether everything has to be submitted to the PMB, ED, and PMB committee. I don't think that's been resolved.
And, the reports on how the implementation of the evaluation policy are going must be done on a quarterly basis in written form and submitted to. So is there a motion to amend that, to say something else?
No, I'm not going to amend that.
Okay, keep it then.
Okay.
We just want to report on that it's being implemented. We don't need all the raw data or anything. It's just that this is being complied with.
Proceed.
Right.
Okay, so do you want to put in that word compliance? Reports on how the compliance of implementation?
How the compliance of implementation. All right, fine.
Does that work for you?
Compliance. Yeah, fine. No problem.
Compliance of
implementation of the evaluation part.
Yeah.
That's too wordy. Okay.
Well, let me just say that if you are requiring a written quarterly assessment as to whether this is being done, you are then there. I would assume you are requiring a quarterly review of these programs, and that was my initial point. It's implied that we are quarterly evaluating every program.
All right. No. Let me clarify what my intent is. My intent is that that is, of course, ridiculous given the amount of people involved. It can't be done by one person. You're right about that. However, what I am talking about is that a policy start to be implemented. You know, you could see 10 or 20 producers in a quarter.
Okay, good. You know, that's fine. Grace mentioned that earlier. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Okay.
I was too little. My apologies.
Can I add a word here?
So are we not we're not going to put in compliance? Is that the upshot of it?
I think so.
Implementation. Okay.
Catherine, can I add a word or two?
Yeah, if you could suggest something to make this clear, I would love that. Go ahead.
Progress reports on that, how the implementation of the evaluation policy are going, must be done on a quarter. So progress report, that indicates
that's good.
Fine.
Okay, good. Very good.
Well,
very good.
That works for you. Okay. All right. So are there any objections to this motion, or are there any objections to that amendment putting in progress? Okay. Are there any objections to this motion as amended? Okay, so the motion passes without objection. Yay.
Congrats. Congrats, Jim, and everyone else.
Oh, my God.
The longest 10 minutes I've ever spent.
I know. I mean, but this is what it takes, right? To come to an actual understanding, I think that this is beautiful. This is why committees are so much more fun than I don't want to say.
I think we should end on a laugh. And
Let's call it a night.
We still have a half an hour.
You got any softballs, Jim?
We still have to deal with. Is Ken still on the line? Ken Aaron?
I believe he is.
Because we wanted to see if we could hash out the broadcast disclaimer cards, right?
Oh, that's a good one. Let's do that. Let's knock that out. All right. Let's do a definitive 11 o'clock deadline, though.
I'm online, but I don't have the motion in front of me.
The broadcast disclaimer cards, as it was originally written, I'll read it to you. That motion, broadcast, okay.
So someone is washing dishes.
Could someone mute their kitchen preparations?
Your parents kind of need to do it, no less.
It's okay. I wish I had some. The executive director shall institute and monitor the use of disclaimers managed by the general managers and program directors of each station. It is expected that this policy will be fully implemented in the second quarter of FY 2019, between January and March 2019. So that may have to be changed. It goes on. The guidelines for this function are as follows. 1. Disclaimer cards will be broadcast prior to, during, and after the broadcast of any material deemed controversial and or dealing with sensitive material as determined by the program director or general manager. Disclaimer cards will also be broadcast prior to any and all live call-in segments that allow for the general public to participate in the broadcast. 2. Board operators will be tasked with implementing the broadcast of disclaimer cards and maintaining a separate online log for all instances of disclaimer cards being broadcast, including date, time, and program. The format and content of disclaimer cards may be modified at the discretion of the program director and or the general manager, who has final authority on the nature and use of disclaimer cards. The general nature of a disclaimer card is as follows. The views expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect the positions, strategies, or opinions of the station or the Pacifica Foundation. The narration of the disclaimer cards may be by any individual, including the programmer. However, the narrator will not be identified. All the above applies to programs streamed or available for download on the Internet. Policy on disclaimers for material produced and distributed by the Pacifica Radio Archives will be covered separately. So that's the motion as it was passed by this committee. It was brought to the PMB and referred back to the committee for revision. So the question is, how can we revise and simplify this motion? I do recall that one of the revisions that was suggested by Maxie was that it would be, my understanding of that was that there would be a universal part, a disclaimer, that would be played before all public affairs programs. So did I characterize that correctly, Maxie?
You did, and that is the only, instead of, I think in the first line, in the first guideline, we say deemed controversial or dealing with sensitive material. Instead of that, it is just to play this card in front of every call-in and or public affairs program. It's just that simple. It's a minor tweak, but I think it makes a world of difference because controversial is subjective.
Catherine, it's Eric.
I agree with that.
Catherine, can I go to the stack?
Yeah, Eric and then Tom.
I find the word necessarily problematic. I think it's important that comes out. I mean, and let me just say, secondly, I mean, while this disclaimer is helpful, let me just say it does not shield us from litigation or possible retribution from whomever. But that word necessarily, I mean, that's...
Where is that?
You said necessarily? It's just this program does not necessarily reflect the views. That's what was read.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that...
It could just say may not.
Okay. Either one of those is good. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Could you make a motion to that effect so I can put in the change?
Sure. I don't know if it's called a friendly amendment, or I move that we strike the word necessarily and replace it with may not.
Can you clarify the difference? Because I don't know the difference.
Well, you see, if it doesn't necessarily, which means it very well may
right.
be our view.
Right.
So that kind of defeats the purpose of the disclaimer, I think.
I see.
Okay.
Get into the stack.
All right. Are there?
Yes.
All right.
Get into the stack.
To that change? Yes, Ken.
I object, and I can tell you why.
Okay.
I don't know who's. I'm sorry, I didn't get the name of the person making that request.
That was Eric.
I don't. Unless the person is a lawyer studied in this field and with experience, I think it's irrelevant. There's no difference between saying it may because you're not saying it doesn't or it does. You're saying it may. That's the same as not necessarily. I don't care that the wording is changed. The point is, the motion says that this is an example of a disclaimer. It's not dictating that that's the phrase. It's saying this is an example, the nature of a disclaimer statement. It said the disclaimer statements will be generated by the general manager or the program director and so forth, and they're responsible for it. That's A. So, you know, maybe Maxie can do it as the ED and so forth. But this is a sample. What it says is a sample. That changes, in my opinion, irrelevant. Saying may not instead of is not necessarily.
Okay.
I don't care.
Okay, let me just
one other point, okay? In regards to limiting it to call-in programs and public, I forgot what the phrase was, political programs, public affairs programs. My concern is we've had very controversial shows with religious leaders at some point in time. And I don't know if those are considered to be public affairs. But that means anybody who's talking and they're not talking about cooking. But even if people are talking about cooking, or people are talking about health, or people are talking about investing in the stock market, or people are talking about where to send your kid to school, it can all be controversial. And for somebody to say on the air, the worst thing you can do is put your kid in a charter school. Or somebody to say on the air, the best thing for you to do is put your kid in a charter school. Those are controversial and could expose us to lawsuits. But the truth is, they do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. That's the point. And it's any kind of a programming. It's not just, quote, public affairs, unquote. It may not be music program. So you could say, this is a good record. That's a bad record. But
okay, let me change it then.
Who's speaking?
This is Eric. Let me amend the amendment and say does not. I mean, I'm going to disagree with may not. I think may not. One swings it in the way of a negative and one swings it in the direction of a positive. I think may not further distances us from the possibility. But if we simply say does not, I think it takes us closer to immunity.
Is that a legal opinion?
Max is going to stack.
Yes, hold on a second. I just want to get the amendment clarified. So are you putting back in necessarily does not necessarily reflect?
No, I'm changing it to the views expressed on this program does not, you know, or
reflect.
No, I mean, okay. Yeah, I mean, does not. I mean, it very well may reflect ours. I'm going to change it and say may not.
So you want to keep me. All right, good enough. All right, were you finished, Ken? I just wanted to know if Ken,
sorry,
are you done?
I'm finished. Just those 2 points. I'm concerned about the limitation of public, whatever you call it. It's just a question up to the general, up to the guidance of the general manager, program director, to know what being broadcast, to know whether it's exposed, and it could be controversial potentially, that they create and implement disclaimers. We have had programmers talking about HIV and whether HIV is a real disease or not a disease. These programs need disclaimers. You know, if we're talking to somebody who says the earth is flat and it's not round, we need disclaimers. And we don't want the disclaimers that say we don't agree, and we don't want disclaimers saying we do agree. We want disclaimers saying we're not responsible for what's stated here.
Okay.
It may not be our opinion.
Catherine, if I can clarify. I mean, that's why I'm saying may not.
Okay, so we're going to vote on that, but
Maxie,
let me. Okay, I'm going to take Tom, then I'll come back to you, Maxie.
Okay.
Tom?
Yes, can we get the previously passed modified motion in writing, please?
Yeah, I sent it out. I sent the previously passed motion. I just sent it out.
I'm not finding it somehow.
You might have to change the heading when you send it out.
I have a point of information. Ken with a point of information. What was the objection by the PMD? Why did they send it back?
Because it was not consistent with what the executive director asked us to consider, and so it was sent back to us to reconsider it.
Okay, so I'm just going to make a comment about that. I was in the car during the last motion. This is exactly the topic I brought up before. Function as a PMD or committees having with a requirement of approval by the executive director of the motions that we make to implement policies. We have to work out a way where the executive director can participate but does not have veto authority. It's not going to work.
No, it was the PMB that made the decision to send it back.
Based on the veto of the ED. That's what you just said.
No, it's not according to the ED did not veto anything.
Right.
I presented it personally. I opened the window by asking for an extension of time so that the executive director could comment and could participate on the motion. And then, so that was me. The executive director had nothing to do with that. And the PMB decided to send it back so that we could re-evaluate it.
Why did they send it back?
Because it was very broad, and it was sent back for reconsideration. So if you want to be upset about it,
I'm not asking for any therapy, thank you. Don't assume I'm upset. I'm just assuming that we cannot function with somebody having a veto override on our motions. We can have participation, and I support the executive director. but it cannot check on everything. Has to be approved by the executive director before it gets voted on or approved.
Can I comment on that? This is Maxie. Can I comment on that?
Yeah, you also wanted to.
Right, I'm on the stack. This is all in one. Let me just clarify for Ken's sake. Ken, I don't have a vote. So when I challenge motions, it's to suggest that there may be another way to look at the motion that is presented. And that's all I have ever done, is try to provide as much counsel as I can to the governing board. I don't vote, and they could have easily, if they didn't agree with me, as was the case tonight, decided that what I proposed wasn't worthy of them not voting on it, or sending it back, and they could have approved it. So the bottom line is, there's no veto power being expressed here. I'm simply making suggestions and asking the board to consider, and they're voting one way or the other. And so let's be real clear. I'm not exercising any kind of veto power. I appreciate the board allowing me to sit in on these committees. I appreciate when I'm invited to participate. And I'd like to think that I add a level of expertise that's useful. And as long as that's the case, I will continue to do it. So I just wanted to put clarity to that. As far as this motion, I agree with Ken. We don't need to be deliberating over the language in an example, which the disclaimer is that in blue is. It's just an example. And so that will be resolved by the PD and or general manager at the station level. I don't think we need to consider that something to amend as part of this motion. So I'm agreeing with Ken on that. And the last thing I would like to say is just really a point of clarity. If it's not a news program or a music program, it is generally considered in programming circles to be public affairs, which is why the use of the term public affairs. News is supposed to be objective. Public affairs is subjective. And so therefore the need for a disclaimer, as I think many are articulating, so that we are articulating abundantly to the listening audience that the views expressed by the hosts and or the guests or the callers do not necessarily reflect those of the Pacifica Foundation. It's just that simple. So I just want to add that point of clarity.
All right, Jim to the stack.
Was that the comments you wanted to make originally?
Yeah, I'm all set. Thank you.
Okay.
Ken, I remove my objection, taking what Maxie said, that public affairs means everything outside of news and music. Then it's
okay.
A much more comprehensive statement. So I
removed
my objection when I was talking about religious or
cooking.
Grace for the
stack.
Okay.
Jim's
a stack.
Grace and then Jim.
Okay, just as to clarify something, I believe that this motion was taken up at the end of a very contentious, grueling PNB meeting. There was some discussion about it. I believe that somebody, I think it may have been Tony Leon from WPFW, said that it would be really a drag to have to interrupt music programming with this disclaimer, and that much of the programming at WPFW is music, and that it wasn't necessary. And after some discussion, it was just felt that it should be sent back to the committee to be worked on further. Personally, I think maybe we should consult to some extent with Maxie and with the general managers, because personally, I think that if the programming grid is clogged with too many disclaimers, it's going to get irritating. I would find it irritating personally. But yet, I think that there are too few currently, especially around fund drive programming, and especially when we're talking about any kind of health premium. I think it's absolutely urgent that we have more disclaimers. But so that's basically, I think, why it was referred back here, not as a huge invalidation of the motion itself, but just that we believe the PNB wanted it to be looked at more carefully. And I really think that we need to to consider how it will be implemented and get some feedback from the general managers about how they feel about it.
So are you suggesting that we do what?
Well, I'm making it as a suggestion. I don't know. That's just a thought. I'm not pushing it strongly.
All right, Jim, just a sec.
Jim, yeah.
Yeah, look, this is a no-brainer. This has to pass simply because how, for example, would we deal with what just happened in Washington on Friday? I've watched all the videos that I can see, including the two-hour video. And, you know, how would we – I personally think the differences in the Black Israelite movement should be allowed to air. But how do you then – deal with that, because I think that's an important free speech issue. They're down there exercising their free speech. How do you explain what occurred there? There's different ways to explain it and see eyes of the beholder, but this is precisely one of the great strengths of the network, that they can handle things like this. In the 80s, when Minister Farrakhan's speeches were played incessantly, and, you know, some loved it, some hated it. But a disclaimer, if cleverly done, could easily be a radio imaging device also for each station, would have, you know, knocked down a lot of the problems. BAI, when they had that famous reading on air of the poem during Julia Lester's show, which said how this guy was so happy that people were turned into lampshades in Europe, I mean, that caused a huge furor and laid a unfair stereotype on the station that has not actually ever it has recovered from. So I think the disclaimers are very, very important. And, you know, Pacifica has a tradition of putting on unpopular speech. So, you know, just having these kind of things to, and I think a legally sound disclaimer would be where I would go. But I think it's appropriate because I got so incensed listening to Bonnie's show. One of the resolutions I have here is that I've had enough of this nonsense. January 27th is International Holocaust Day. And, you know, I think that every year, every Pacifica station on that day should deal with the Holocaust in World War II. I'm not talking about the Holocaust that everybody else talks about all the time, but I personally think enough is enough, you know, because that in itself is what it inspired those conscientious objectors after World War II to set up Pacifica. Events like that. So I personally think this should be passed. We get the right appropriate legal language. We don't be numbskull about implementing it. Obviously, you don't put it in front of a three-hour show of Bach or a three-hour show of Thelonious Monk. But if you're going to have somebody on the air and they're exercising their freedom of speech with a sound delay so that you can you know, deal with the profanity issues, yeah. That's important to have a disclaimer on, and that's the kind of stuff we want to be branded as doing. We're dealing with unpopular, difficult speech to deal with, and that's what Pacifica has always been known to do. So I call the question. I think this should be passed.
Well, we could do that.
I don't understand what the objection of the board is. So where are their heads at? How much of this stuff do they have any awareness of? How many of them, I mean, you know, this is a serious public affairs issue.
I'm sorry, but part of the problem that I foresee in you rushing the question is that that's what happened when this was passed. We had, 10 minutes left. The question was called. There were things that could have still been resolved to have a strong motion that could have been passed already. And if we're going to do this, I would prefer that we craft it into something that is strong and effective and not just do it because we want to do it. Bring it to the PMB and it still be a little bit sloppy and then it get referred back and delayed yet another month. So I would like to be able to, we're very close in making it to something that is workable and that makes sense. So let's just do that, if you don't mind. And then I can take it to the PMB and we can get it passed.
Okay.
Right?
So just
this
passing,
is getting the
just,
stack.
Just passing it here is not the end game. It's to get it affirmed by the PMB so that it becomes policy. That's
right,
the
but
end
I also,
game.
True, Kathy. I agree with you 100%, but I also have to raise those wider issues because sometimes these board members don't necessarily come in there with the history of Pacifica in their brain, but this is what has made us distinguished from everybody else. Anyway, that's my point.
Well, this is Ken to the stack. We have the solution with us. We have a solution with us in the meeting. Your statement was that it was returned to the committee because of adjustments requested by the executive director. He's in this meeting. Let's get him to fine-tune this so it can get approved next time it's sent to the PMB. We don't have to, dwindle around. He can tell us what he thinks should be modified, and let's see if we can pass it.
I appreciate that. So the first suggestion that I recall is that it would say disclaimer cards will be broadcast before every call-in or public affairs program. And that would replace what's currently written as number one. Or at least
the first one. Let's find out if there's any other changes.
Okay. So I'm going to so that's the first change. Are there any objections to that change to remove what's existing as number one and have number one be disclaimer cards will be broadcast before every call-in or public affairs program? So that would replace one. So unless I hear any objections, then that's going to be number one. Are there any objections?
Catherine, this is Eric. I do find the section problematic where it says every call-in.
That's been removed.
Okay.
No, call-in is not removed. It's before every call-in or public affairs programs is what was suggested.
The only programs that would have call-ins are public affairs programs.
Not true. We have lots of culture programs, arts and culture, that are talk programs on BAI anyway.
If it's not a news program with journalism applied or a music program, it is a public affairs program.
Okay.
That was the point I was making earlier. Public affairs, by definition, in programming in media circles, it may not be official, but in media connotation, public affairs is everything that's not news or music program.
Okay. I think that's an important distinction that you'll have to let the stations know that that's the case.
And I will do that, I promise. What I will say is that I think if we just make it public affairs programming, we will be fine with that first aspect.
So you're saying to take out call-in and just write public affairs?
Correct.
Okay, is that agreeable to everyone? Okay.
My only concern is one of our colleagues mentioned here that it sounds cumbersome just to be doing that throughout the day or every 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's not every 10 minutes. It's actually before the show begins, which is
I was being facetious, but.
Oh, but let me be clear. As Jim stated, it actually can be used as imaging, and it really should only happen probably twice per public affairs show. So you're talking about something that will play twice an hour at most. It says here three times. You could argue that that might be excessive because if they're back-to-back shows, you're going to be playing it foreseeably twice in a row. But at the end of the day, you're talking about two broadcasts of, or two airings of the disclaimer every hour that a public affairs show is on.
Okay. So it looks like at this point we're taking away the original one and the original two. And where was the part where you said three times a day? Board operators will be taxed with implementing.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, it just is in the first guideline. We say prior to, during, and after. I would just say prior to and during the broadcast of any public affairs material, period, or
of any
program.
Okay. Public,
and then you can eliminate
affairs.
The rest of number one.
This is for the stack.
Okay, Grace.
I think just at the beginning of the program is adequate. After this is implemented for about a month, the listeners will get the idea, and once at the beginning of the show is ample to protect us legally.
Enough. Grace, let me just give you a reason why it might be useful, again, useful, not necessarily, but useful, to use it twice. One of the things I'm going to be suggesting to the station, the program directors in particular, is the use of clocks, programming clocks for each show. When you do a public affairs show, one of the things I'm going to be teaching or suggesting to the programmers that you really shouldn't open up this program for phone calls until you've gone through the first 30 minutes establishing the topic and the expertise of your guests, etc. The reason you play that disclaimer at the beginning is because you're doing it for the guests and the host. When you do it at the bottom of the hour, it's suggesting that the people calling in don't reflect the views of the station or the network. So there's sort of a dividing line in the clock that would give you ample reason to do it twice in the hour. And it sounds onerous, I know, to people, but as someone is programmed, I don't want to keep going back to that, but it really is something that the listeners, I think, don't even consider. It's just an element of the part. It's literally like playing bump music between segments. It's not a really big deal. So if you really want to take it out, that's fine, but I'm just letting you know from experience, it really is not something that gets on the nerves of the listener. It does establish a break in the program, and it gives an opportunity to clarify that what's coming up next does not necessarily reflect the views of the station.
Well, can I add something to that?
A different wording?
I'm, don't worry about the verbiage I use for the disclaimer.
Catherine, can I suggest a wording change?
Yeah, what is your suggestion?
A minimum of once per program. How's that? If you want to have twice, that's fine with me. I accept the explanation, but possibly on some programs, once would be adequate.
Well, Eric, to the stack quickly, if I might.
So, where are you? I'll come to you next. Where are you suggesting we put that, Grace?
Let's see.
The beginning. You want the beginning, Grace? Respectful.
Disclaimer cards will be broadcast a minimum of once before every public affairs program.
Oh. Yes. No. No. A minimum of
and
one
then,
for every public affairs program.
For every.
A minimum of one at the beginning. It doesn't make any sense grammatically.
No, it actually does, because the question was, where do you want it to happen, and you need it to happen at the beginning of the program.
Okay, so then perhaps in number two, we could say disclaimer cards will be broadcast prior to and or during.
Good. I like that.
Okay. And then the staff can figure out the specifics of it. Does that make sense? Okay. So
Eric. I think Grace's original, she hit it on the head initially. Once at the beginning, we give it at the beginning, that suffices. I mean, we don't want to get to a point where we're disowning our programming. If the question is asked, did you give a disclaimer? Yes, it came on the front end. For the sake of the quality of the sound, it sounds cumbersome, and it sounds like, well, we're putting this on our airways. We really don't. We really didn't. It wasn't our fault that it's on our airways, but here it is anyway. We just used our airways as a vehicle, and we don't necessarily want it on here. I mean, it's okay that it's on here, but I mean, if it's on once in the beginning, that should more than suffice. It sounds much better, and the disclaimer was given. But even conceivably, someone mentioned at the bottom of the hour at 30 minutes. Calls come in at sometimes at 20 minutes after the hour.
I just explained respectfully.
Okay, my point is once at the beginning, more than suffices.
Okay, if I may, I would like to comment on that. Suggestion, Eric. I think that I agree with you in most cases. I just foresee a situation where it might need that if it's a two-hour or a long-hour program.
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes fundraising programs go for 2 hours or more. So to me, it's conceivable that there needs to be enough flexibility for the staff to decide when it might be appropriate and when it's not. Ken?
You just made my statement for me. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so we are pretty much out of time. Is there any objection to continuing for another 10 minutes to try to finish this up? Okay, so did I hear an objection? No? Okay. So,
or as long as needed.
Yes, or as long as needed. Okay. That sounds good. The next item that has not been revised or eliminated is the part about border operators will be tasked with implementing the broadcast or disclaimer cards and maintaining a separate online log of all instances of disclaimer cards broadcast, including date, time, and program. So my sense is that, personally, this would be eliminated if we're having clocks. The clock would dictate when it would be played, and that would be it. That would be the, unless there was a mishap and it wasn't played. But should we leave, do we want to leave that as it is? Or do we want to refine that?
Yeah, Jim, to the stack on that.
Yeah, Jim.
I would leave it because we don't know how much this clock issue is going to be resolved in real time. And also, you know, I've done shows where I've had Nazis on, all right? And, you know, I had my own form of disclaimer for that one. I'm talking about 20 years ago. But I felt it was important for them to express themselves and people hear their, you know, fucked up opinions. But still, you know, disclaimers serve the purpose of distancing ourselves from unpopular speech. And I think it's important to, I do think it's important for board ops to, for all sorts of purposes, do that, because we've suffered so much with bad publicity for decades over how we have not properly handled these kind of problems.
Okay. So the next paragraph is the format and content of disclaimer cards may be modified at the discretion of the program director and or the general manager, who has final authority on the nature and use of disclaimer cards. Do we want to keep that paragraph as it is? It gives an example here, but the example is not binding. So shall we leave this as it is, or do we want to make a change to refine it?
Catherine, did you say program manager or general manager? I know what you mean.
Yeah, program director or the general manager. Sorry.
Let's cancel the stack on that. On the program, the general manager, the program director may have consciousness about what's going on with the program and the environment. He may add a phrase like, for medical advice, call your doctor. Whatever candidate you vote for, please vote. He may add something to the disclaimer that makes it not so rote and mechanical and particular to whatever the program is discussing. So, therefore, okay. I don't think we want to micromanage this. There's got to be room for appropriateness, and that's why I put that in.
Okay. So I'm not hearing any objection to that. The next one is the narration of the disclaimer parts may be by any individual, including the programmer. However, the narrator will not be identified. Are there any objections to that paragraph? Or that item?
Yes.
Yes. Say it once again. Can you repeat that, Catherine?
The narration of the disclaimer parts may be by any individual, including the programmer. However, the narrator will not be identified.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I object to that.
And who's that?
That's Jim. I just think you should make some vanilla-type disclaimer card. As I said, it could be done creatively. It could be used with radio imaging in mind. It could also be, frankly, you got to pass. The language should be vetted through an attorney who can figure out a better way to do it. But I think it should be creative. And I do agree that the narrator shouldn't be identified. I don't think it should be on the onus of the programmer itself. It should be, it's policy. Boom. And you just simply play the card. And hopefully that'll solve the problem. And I do think you might have to think in certain circumstances, as you mentioned early, Kathy, about playing it twice during a show, during an hour time slot.
Right. So this doesn't preclude anything. It says it may be by any individual, including the programmer. So there may be a situation where you wouldn't want to exclude the programmer.
Good point. Maxie to the staff.
Yes, Maxie.
In my history, I've seen this done in two creative ways. I'm just adding this for context for those on the call. One is that you have a voice of God character who does this single part that plays on every show across the schedule. And then I've also seen it where you can actually strive to demonstrate the different ethnic and or character voices within a community. And so you could have people from all kinds of different backgrounds record this.
Brilliant.
And use it in some kind of rotation so that whether it's someone with a heavy Spanish accent doing it on a show that's targeting black progressives. It doesn't really matter, but it's just used to kind of display the wide diversity of folks who are part of the Pacifica family. So there's creative ways to do it in the spirit of what Jim was saying earlier about it being an imaging piece.
Okay. All right. So are we leaving this sentence as it is?
I like it.
Okay. It is being left up to the discretion of the staff, the specific carts and how they're going to be voiced. So we don't have to hash that out here. The next one is all the above applies to programs streamed or available for download on the internet. Okay, is that acceptable to everyone?
Okay. I think that's a good point. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. And the final phrase is policy on disclaimers for material produced and distributed by the Pacifica Radio Archives will be published separately. Is that, do we have any objections to that?
Is that even a problem?
Well, it's just that the only thing, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
This is Maxie. I could just add some context to this. I think it's appropriate because I think what this is addressing is when we, if stations, like Democracy Now, for instance, I don't think we need to put a disclaimer on Democracy Now. Programming that we acquire may not necessarily need to be given the disclaimer treatment in the same way that our locally produced programming would. And I think archives, so far, you know, I don't know of us having programs that are purely from archives. I'm sure there are some examples I may not be aware of. But even in that case, you're talking historical context. Again, I think it could be covered separately. It gives us room to approach that when it comes.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to read what the motion sounds like now. So the one thing that I also, so it says here, the executive director shall institute and monitor the use of disclaimers managed by the general managers and program directors of each station. It is expected, say that again. It is expected that this policy will be fully implemented in the second quarter of FY 2019 between January and March of 2019. Okay. Excuse me. The guidelines for this function are as follows. One, disclaimer cards will be broadcast a minimum of one for every public affairs program. Disclaimer cards will be broadcast prior to and or during the broadcast of any public affairs programs. Board operators will be tasked with implementing the broadcast of disclaimer cards and maintaining a separate online log of all instances of the disclaimer cards being broadcast, including date, time, and program. Do I have the numbering right? Four. The format and content of disclaimer cards may be modified at the discretion of the program director and or the general manager, who has final authority on the nature and use of disclaimer cards. And then it gives a suggestion. The general nature of a disclaimer card is as follows. The views expressed during this program may not reflect the positions, strategies, or opinions of the station or the Pacifica Foundation. So that's only a suggestion. The narration, number five, the narration of the disclaimer cards may be by any individual, including the programmer. However, the narrator will not be identified. Six, all the above applies to programs streamed or available for download on the Internet. Seven, policy on disclaimers for material produced and distributed by the Pacifica Radio Archives will be covered separately. So I would ask, are there any objections to this motion as amended?
This is Maxie to the fact.
Yes, Maxie.
I don't really have an objection. I just wanted to ask the committee to entertain a replacement word. I think the term CART is a bit dated based on the technology that we either will be using or should be using or in many stations are using. It is a reference to a technology that is a bit dated. It might be useful to replace CART with the word SPOT, S-P-O-T, or something else that brings it to the more digital era, if you will, in terms of production. So just some, it's a minor thing. If it's too much, and it's not to me debate worthy, but I would just suggest it so that we get to a language that speaks to a more modern phrasing, if you will.
Can we just say announcement?
Can we just say announcement?
And yeah, even an announcement would be fine. It just needs a, I actually think this applies to our election cart, the reference to election carts, too.
Okay, so Eric, would you like to make that amendment to change cart to announcement?
Sure. Should I make it as a motion then?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I move that we amend this this motion to replace the word cart with announcement.
Okay. Are there any objections to that amendment? Okay, hearing none. Are there any objections to this motion as amended? Okay, hearing none. This motion passes without objection.
Well done.
Okay. Thank you all.
Congratulations.
Yes, and we are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kathy.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Thank you.
Kathy's still there.